one of us here today. And I noticed what Pastor Camp said. We're not leaving the same as we came, in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Today is an opportunity for you to leave different. Today is an opportunity for some change to happen in your life, for something to be tweaked, for something to be adjusted, for a new decision to be made, so that you're not leaving the same. I mean, there's truth in that. Jesus is here. The Word is here to forever and ever and ever change our lives. But Father, we're grateful for this time we have in your Word. Your Word is eternal. It's the truth. It's powerful. And it gives us hope. It gives us salvation. It heals our bodies. It delivers us. It changes our lives forever. We're grateful, Father, for your presence here, for your living word that we're hearing. And Father, we are setting ourselves with expectation. We're setting ourselves to be an expectation that we are going to hear something that is for us personally, that will help us, equip us, and change us, so that this week is going to be a better week than last week. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you again. It's a joy to be with you. I want to talk to you today about live worthy of your calling. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So there in verse 1 we read, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." To live worthy of your calling. When I graduated in high school back in 1974, my first full-time job was working for a window glass installation company. I worked as a window glazer. Any of you know what that is? I installed glass in window frames. And back then, when new houses were being built, the carpenters building the homes would install the window frames. They were all wood window frames, and our company would show up afterwards and put the glass in the frames right on site. And so, very different from how it's done today, right? You know that. I mean, the frames and the glass all come in one piece and they're installed in new homes. So when I started working for this window glass installation company, I didn't know a thing about how to install windows. I was as green can be. You can all relate, right? Anytime you started a new job, never done it before, you're just as green can be. But over the months, I became more and more proficient in working with windows, installing windows. And how many of you have mastered the art of caulking, of putting a bead of caulking around a window and making it look very nice? Well, over time, I learned how to do that. And obviously, they didn't let me do that right away, so I'd help put the windows in, and then the professionals, the people who had the experience, they would put that bead of caulking around the windows. But over time, I learned how to do that as well. So after working for a year with this company, I was offered a promotion. And the owner of the company, he owned another company with another businessman. And this was more of a retail home improvements company. So also in the line of windows and also doors, but more retail. So the company I worked for was installation. This other company was retail. And I was offered the position to manage this home improvements company. I was 19 years old, and I was offered this position. So I went, after a year of working for this installation company, I went from being a window installer to being a manager of a retail home improvements company specializing in windows and doors. So the thing about this that I want to emphasize is that my responsibilities changed. And any of you who have experienced a promotion at work, you know that when you're promoted to another position at your place of work, your responsibilities change. You're not doing the same thing you did before. You're doing different work. Maybe your conversation's different with the people you work with because you're doing a different job, promotion. And so that's what happened with me. I had a new position with new responsibilities. I have to conduct myself differently. I dress differently for work. Nicer. Again, my conversation with customers was different. I went to homes not to install windows, but to sell windows. So, my responsibilities changed because I was promoted. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 from the Passion Translation. We read it from the New Living Translation. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. And another translation says, I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord. God chose you to be his people. I tell you now to live the way God's people should live. Swan River is looking for God's people to live the way God's people should live. Amen? So like what I experienced when my position changed, if Jesus is your Lord, you got promoted. You got promoted to a new position. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, once you had no identity, so if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 10. It says there, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. The Message Bible says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something. See the promotion? You got promoted from nothing to something. From rejected to now being accepted. And then still another translation says, once you were less than nothing, now you are God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness, now your very lives have been changed by it. So your position has changed if you're a born-again believer. If Jesus is your Lord, your position has changed. You went from sinner to saint. From not being holy to being holy. Now live a life worthy of your calling. Live the way God's people should live. So when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he was writing to people who once were less than nothing. They used to live in sin. Just like the rest of the world, they were obeying the devil, the small g god of this world. Ephesus was a city steeped in idolatry. It was rampant with pagan worship. So the church in Ephesus was made up of people who had this background. And now Paul was instructing the believers in Ephesus in the way they should conduct themselves. He was teaching them, equipping them to live as God's people should live. People who have a divine calling. And like the believers in Ephesus before Christ, or as Or BC, as Jerry Savelle would say. He talks about Jerry Savelle BC. So you and I, before Christ BC, we were less than nothing. Think about it. We were less than nothing. We had no identity as God's people. We lived just like the rest of the world. We were really obeying the devil. But that's not who you are now. That's not who you are now. Now you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, meaning you represent God to others. Here in Swan River, you're representing God to others. You've been called chosen for the high calling of priestly work. So at your place of work, out on the street, when you're walking, at the supermarket, in the gym, in sports, you are representing God. You have a high calling, chosen by God. You are God's instruments to do his work, to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference that he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know, witnessing is, it's different in the moment for every situation, but really, when you're witnessing to somebody, you have the opportunity to tell that person what Jesus has done for you. And nobody can dispute what your experience has been or what your testimony is. You know how it's changed your life, and you can share that with other people. So now Paul is saying, you got promoted. So if you think of what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, now live a life worthy of your calling. Paul's saying, you got promoted. Now live the way God's people should live. Live like you've been chosen. Live like you have a high calling. Live like you've been forgiven. Live like you're free from shame. Live like you're holy and set apart. Live like you've been accepted. Live like you are loved by God. Live like you are justified. Live like you have been approved. And I know many of you here this morning, you know this, what I'm sharing with you. You would say, I know I'm chosen. I know I'm accepted. I know I'm loved. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm justified. I know God loves me. But are you living like it's true? Are you living like it's true? Christ has made a night and day difference for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to now being accepted. So if you're writing notes, taking notes, here's a principle worth writing down. You define who you are by the way you think, by the way you talk, by the way you act. You define who you are by the way you think, by the way you talk, and by the way you act. This is what a man by the name of Horace Schultz realized as a young teenager working as an apprentice in a luxury hotel in post-war Germany. He saw how the maitre d' of this luxury hotel defined himself like a gentleman, by conducting himself like a gentleman in the way he dressed and in the way he served the guests and in the way he talked with others. Horace Schultz saw as hotel staff, now he was a young 14-year-old apprentice, and he saw as hotel staff that they could rise to a new identity. They could rise to a higher identity. They could rise from simply being lowly servants to being ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. As part of his apprenticeship, Horace Schultz wrote an essay. He wrote his essay about the maitre d' in this hotel where he was working. And he called the essay, "We Are Ladies and Gentlemen Serving Ladies and Gentlemen." In his essay, he wrote how hotel staff define themselves as ladies and gentlemen when they serve their guests like ladies and gentlemen. Years later, Horace Schultz became co-founder of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Anybody hear of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel? He became co-founder of this hotel, a luxury hotel chain with a reputation for serving their guests with excellence. Guess what the motto for the Ritz-Carlton Hotel is? We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. To this day, that's their motto. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason why the Ritz-Carlton is a global leader in the service industry. They're defining themselves as being the best. Ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen, serving their guests with excellence. We define who we are by the way we think, by the way we talk, by the way we act, by the way we serve others. Recently, I read this in Jerry Savelle's devotional. Maybe you read Jerry Savelle's. I don't read it every day, but once in a while, I'll go there. And on this particular day, I read Jerry Savelle's devotional on his app. And what I read really caught my attention. Listen to what this devotional says. I don't know what day it's from, but I have it in my phone. So I'm quoting Jerry Savelle. The moment a believer truly comprehends that he or she has the divine life and nature of God, that individual will start to act according to that nature and will experience the abundant life. Think of it this way. The nature of a turkey compels it to walk around and scavenge the ground for food. The nature of an eagle, however, is to soar through the air, feeding on the freshest of what the land and sea have to offer. Now, you may have great aspirations for your turkey to soar and dine like an eagle, but its nature will always cause it to waddle its way back to scavenging and making its home where it's most comfortable, on the ground. All creatures act in accordance with their nature. All creatures act in accordance with their nature. So I'm still quoting Jerry Savelle. Before you made Jesus your Lord, you had a sinful nature that came with a tendency for sin and immoral desires. However, you were born again, or when you were born again, you were given a completely new nature, a divine nature. The life and nature of Jesus Christ now resides within you, but the choice is yours to believe you have this nature and to act on it. So still quoting Jerry Savelle, for a Christian to act defeated is just as unnatural as it is for an eagle to scrounge like a turkey. Defeat is not part of your nature in Christ Jesus. You have the nature of an overcoming winner in life. That's your nature, an overcoming winner in life. So today I want to encourage you, as I'm encouraging myself, to live every day worthy of your calling. Chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, representing God to others. You can define yourself as an eagle. You can define yourself as a lady, as a gentleman, serving ladies and gentlemen. You can define yourself as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God. You can define yourself that way by the way you think, by the way you talk, and by the way you act. Let's look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. We're back to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, he says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. Used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger." This is BC, right? BC. Say BC. BC. "We were subject to God's anger just like everyone else." So I would say it this way. Living according to this sinful nature is low-level living. Low-level living. It's living in strife. It's living in offense. It's living in unforgiveness. It's being bitter. It's living in gossip. It's living in hatred, defeated. This is living like a turkey, scratching the ground. Low-level living. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. "But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much." Wow, we could just park right there. "And he loved us so much." He loved us so very much. "But even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus." So God can point to us, and he's pointing to us right now. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples. Say, "Look at my kids there in Swan River. They're my chosen ones." So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us, who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, for none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Just put your hand over your heart and just say this: "I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece." Hallelujah. This new life God has given us is high-level living. Today, there are some of you going to make a decision. No more low-level living. No more living in strife. No more living in bitterness. No more living in offense. No more living in defeat. We're going for high-level living. Living like an eagle, doing the good things God planned for us long ago. Walking in love. This is high-level living. Walking in love. Living above strife. Not getting ourselves into offense. Not participating in gossip. We're demonstrating God's love to others with words and actions. Like Jesus, we're going about doing good, right? Is that what Jesus did? We're going about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. But you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, Candace. And he recreated all of us in Christ Jesus. He made you into something when you were nothing. Just put your hand over your heart again. Say, I'm something. Say, I'm something special. I'm chosen. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. Whew. God recreated you in his image. You are like God. The Bible says, truly righteous and holy. You know, if you look up in your Bibles in the Message translation, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, our lives are now defined by Christ. Not defined by your past, not defined by what your neighbor says about you, not defined by the you know, what your bank account is, not defined by, you know, what your grades are in school. Your life is now defined by Christ. The anointed one and his anointing. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, again, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, so this is not automatic. We have to do this. He says, put on your new nature. You've got to put it on. I'm glad you all got dressed today. You put on some clothes. And in the same way, we need to put on this new nature. Put it on over your way of thinking. Put it on over your way of speaking. And put it on over the way you act towards others. Put on this new nature. Be fully clothed with it. So here's the thing. You're not a turkey. Say, I'm not a turkey. Say, I'm an eagle. You have the nature of an overcoming winner in life. You were a turkey before you got born again. Just nudge your neighbor and say, you're not a turkey anymore. But we all used to be a turkey, like a turkey, right? That low-level living. We got offended. Lived in bitterness, in strife. We were gossiping. We were always negative. We didn't have hope. Just low-level living. But you're an eagle now. Your life now defined by Christ. And you're made to soar. You're made to dine like an eagle, walking and living in the love of God, quick to forgive others, living free of offense. You know, there's always opportunity for, the Bible says, you know, offense will always present itself to us. There's probably not a day that goes by where we don't have the opportunity to become offended. But high level living, hey, that offense is for turkeys. That's right. You've got it. You're not a turkey. And in that moment, you can make a decision. I'm not getting pulled into that offense. I refuse to be offended. I choose to walk in love. That's the high level living that your nature has enabled you to walk in. Well, there's a great story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Y'all, many of you probably know this story about Goliath, the Philistine giant who for 40 days, twice a day, he would come out from the ranks of the Philistine army and he would taunt the Israelite army. And every time Goliath came out and he said, this isn't all that he said, but he did say this, I defy the armies of Israel today, send me a man who will fight me. So for 40 days, now this giant comes out, presents himself to the Israelite army, and the whole army, think about it, You know, they all come out ready to fight. Goliath comes out, presents himself, and then they all run away. For 40 days this happened. Then one day, David shows up. Jesse, his father, sends him out to the front lines, you know, to bring some food to his brothers and to see how his brothers are doing. And when David arrives, there where this showdown is happening, he hears what Goliath says and what the Israelite army had heard for 40 days. David hears this now for the first time. And his response was, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Doesn't sound like a turkey to me. That's not a turkey talking. David talked and acted like what he was, in covenant with the Most High God. The God who'd rescued David from the lion and the bear would rescue David from this giant. David knew that. And then David took a stone, put it in a sling, and he ran towards Goliath. And you can read this in verse 45, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Starts there, verse 45. He says, "You come to me with..." Now, this is, again, this is not a turkey talking. He says, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you." This sounds like somebody who knows his covenant with God. "Today the Lord will conquer you, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Then he drew that sling back and shot it at Goliath, and that sling hit him in the forehead and knocked him down. David, probably the youngest person there, and David takes down the giant. Well, here's the thing to remember or to know. All the soldiers of the Israelite army, they had the same covenant David had. They had the same covenant. They were God's covenant people, like David was. But they didn't think like covenant people. They didn't talk like covenant people. They didn't act like covenant people the way David did. By the way they were acting, running from Goliath, afraid, they were defining themselves. Now listen to this. They were defining themselves as people not having a covenant with God, even though they did. They were eagles, but they were defining themselves like turkeys, talking and acting like turkeys. "We're afraid. This problem's too big." This is how a turkey thinks and talks. "I'm afraid. This problem's too big. There's no hope. Nothing's ever going to change." That's a turkey talking. The Apostle Paul said, "I beg you, live a life worthy of your calling." Your calling is to be like God in this world. To think like God, talk like God, and act like God. You'll define yourself to be like God by thinking like God, by talking like God, by acting like God. You have the nature of God in you right now. You are in his likeness. You have been recreated in his image. There's nothing, listen to this, there's nothing in this world order presenting itself as a problem to you. that you can't overcome. Nothing. No giant, no problem, no mountain that is too big that you can't overcome. There's no situation that looks too impossible that it can't ever change. When God's people were living as exiles in Babylon, it looked like a hopeless situation for them to ever return to their own country again. After the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, Jerusalem was plundered. Solomon's temple was destroyed. Most of the elite were taken into captivity to Babylon. Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Any hope for Jerusalem to be restored looked impossible. And there may be some things going on in your life today where it seems like it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Don't ever give up hope for things to change, for God to intervene and turn that situation around. Don't ever give up hope. Just listen to this story. So during this time of exile in Babylon, God instructed Jeremiah to purchase a field in Judah as a sign that someday people would again own property in their land and would buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. While it looked impossible at the time, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. God said, "Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me?" God was saying, "It's not too hard for me to restore my people, for Judah to become a prosperous state again." While it looked impossible, God said, "It's possible." He was saying, not impossible, it's possible. Is there anything too hard for God to do for you? Restoring that family member, prospering you financially, increasing your business, bringing you more customers and clients, eliminating that debt, healing your body. We heard a testimony today. Turning what the enemy meant for evil into something good. Is there anything too hard for God to do? If you're talking or acting like you're up against some insurmountable problem, that what you're facing can't ever change, then you're scratching the ground like a turkey, instead of soaring way above like an eagle. I don't think we'll ever get ahead. Nothing ever seems to work out for me. I don't see how this could ever change. Instead of talking like a turkey, talk like an eagle. Where there seems to be no way, my God will make a way. What was meant for evil against me, my God will turn it for good. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all. See, this is Christ. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory, your nature. This is your nature speaking. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My God's arm isn't too short that he cannot save. Is it 12 o'clock already? We have to do our part. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to change. So we have to change our way of thinking. It's not going to happen automatically. You don't just live like an eagle and soar and experience this high-level living. Just, it's not going to happen automatically. We have a part in this. We have to daily renew our minds to the Word of God. You have to change the way you think. Daily, you must take your thoughts captive. Arrest those turkey thoughts. Arrest them. Who do you think you are? Thinking you can talk like God and act like God. After all, remember what you did last week? Remember how you this, that, and the other thing? No. I'm forgiven. I'm loved by God. I'm accepted. I'm approved. I'm justified. I'm standing in God's presence. Right now, in this very moment, I am standing in the presence of God, holy and blameless, as though sin never existed in my life. And so are you. And so are you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to daily take your thoughts captive. Renew your mind to the Word of God. Agree with what God's Word says about you. Daily replace those thoughts, turkey thoughts, with eagle thoughts. And you need to do that over and over and over again until God's Word becomes your way of thinking. It becomes your default way of thinking. Every day, you have to say this about yourself or something like it, but from the Word. Every day say this: I am blessed, prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, qualified, valuable, free, equipped, I'm empowered, I'm anointed, I'm accepted, I'm approved, I'm not average, I'm not mediocre, I'm a child of the Most High God, and I will become all I was created to be in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you today. You're rising to a new level today. Today, you're walking out of here. You're at a new level. You're making decisions to no longer scratch the ground like a turkey. No longer living in bitterness, offense, strife, unforgiveness, defeat. No, today you're leaving, having changed. You're leaving today, you're going to soar like an eagle. Right, Pastor Ray? Soar like an eagle. You're going to leave here today equipped and empowered, anointed and accepted, overcome every trouble, every adversity, every problem, every mountain that may come up in your life, because you have the nature of an overcoming winner in life. Paul says, I beg you. He's writing this to Christians. I beg you, live and walk worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God, chosen for high-level living. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word to us. Father, we thank you for this high-level life and living you provided for us. For us to soar like eagles. And Father, thank you that today we're making right decisions, we're making changes, we're tweaking things in our lives, so we're no longer scratching the ground like a turkey, we're soaring like an eagle, And this week, it's going to go better. We're going to have a better week than we did last week because we're at another place where you've brought us up, you've raised us up, Father, to a new level. And Father, we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Walter, for that word. That was amazing. I'm getting fired up just in my seat. You know, just as you were sharing the word of the Lord, I was just thinking of the blessing in Deuteronomy 28. I never really picked up on this before, but this aspect of living like an eagle, not like a turkey. Right away in verse 28, it says, the commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. And of course, later on, what we often confess is that we're above and not beneath, right? We're above and not beneath. We're not called to live like turkeys. Can you imagine if you went to a farm and let me show you my birds, and you go look at there, and there's a bunch of eagles in this pen, and they're just like scratching at the ground. That'd be the odd thing to see. You know, you'd say those eagles, you'd live according to your calling. You're not supposed to be in that pen. Get those things out of there. Get them in the air, right? I believe that the Lord sometimes sees his people. We're the eagles, and we're sitting there scratching in a pen, and he's saying, I've given you everything you need to live like an eagle, to live far above the nations of the earth, to be above and not beneath. Get out of that pen. You don't belong there. Start living like an eagle. As I was just meditating on that, my mind was drawn to the prophetic word that the Lord gave our church this year. I'm going to pull it up on my phone here. And the last part of that word says, if I can get it. It says, increase and blessing are for my people, for I love them and I'm faithful to them. My goodness is a sign to the world, and the world must experience my love and goodness through the hands of God's people. The extravagant display and experience of my goodness is the very thing that will turn hearts toward me and build my kingdom in these last days, says the Lord. And you know, we know that that word is from the Lord. He's encouraging us that he desires to manifest his goodness through our lives. Well, that scripture you shared, Pastor Walter, I'm not preaching here. I just got to say this. That scripture you shared in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're not like that, for you are a chosen people, you're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Pay attention. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? That's why we have this new nature. That's how we're going to fulfill the mandate and the call that God has in our lives to show forth his goodness. It's by walking in that new nature. We're not going to be able to show God's goodness living like turkeys. We've got to live like eagles. Amen? So thank you so much for that metaphor and that example. That's going to stick with us for a long time. Praise God. Let's stand.